Well, I want you to take your Bibles, if you will, please, and I want you to turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, and we're going to have a word of prayer here to start with. And I usually read the scripture, but we're going to walk through the scripture here. Got a thought here that I want to deal with this morning. This message might seem a little mean. It might even seem a little harsh. And I don't want to be mean or harsh, but I do want to be plain. And I want to make sure we don't miss this. This is a simple principle, but I think we tend to overlook it in our society, and we get busy, and we get in the midst of all our things, and we don't take a few things and put them in the right priorities. And so I just want to take a little bit of time here today and do that. So let's pray. And I'm going to talk on this subject this morning. And I'm saying this kind of tongue-in-cheek, okay? Seeking God on my terms. Seeking God on my terms. I've kind of hit this a little bit from several different places. Wednesday night, there's been some things in John we've talked about. And I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just explaining, like Ricky Ricardo said. Just explain me something here. And I'm just going to explain some things. And I don't want folks to miss out. That's really my issue. I don't want them to miss out on all that God has to offer simply because we may take some priorities and flip them around. So let's pray. We'll talk about seeking God on my terms. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings and thank you for your mercy. The longer, the older I get, the more I am amazed at your mercy. I know we talk about amazing grace, and that's even probably even more amazing that you go beyond mercy and you extend grace. But why in the world do you give us mercy in the first place? A holy and a righteous and amazing, mighty God, controller of all the universe, creator. And yet you have time for some little creation, barely a speck in the universe, that for some reason sometimes can't seem to give you the time of day. Lord, I pray that you speak to us here this morning. Pray that your Holy Spirit will be that sugar that helps the medicine go down. Lord, I really do want to do what's right here. And I really do want to be a blessing and have our folks reach their full potential in their walk with you. And so, Lord, help me to present this in a way that they can understand it, appreciate it, make use of it, and see your blessing. That's what I want. So, Lord, meet with us. We'll give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. Isaiah 55, verse number 1. We're going to walk through a passage here. We're going to walk through a second passage. And then I'm going to kind of give my points with some illustrations. They're illustrations that we can probably relate to. There's probably many illustrations of these, but I think it'll help you. Isaiah 55, verse number 1, it says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and drink and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Let me stop there. The Lord's saying, you know, we're spending a lot of time trying to get things to please ourselves. We spend an awful lot of time and effort and finances looking for something that's going to satisfy. I've been trying to lay off my sweet tea, and I started off doing half and half. That helped. Half and half, a little bit of sugar, and then I put a little bit of Splenda in there and kind of, but I can't take all artificial sweeteners. But I like my sweet tea, and that's what put all this on. And I'm trying to take it off, but just trying to, and really not working hard, I'm just not doing a lot of the stupid stuff that I do. And you know how it is, you like all these things. As much as I like sweet tea, the fact is, on a day like today, like yesterday, it was dry all this time, and we're going to be gone all next week, and the grass had already hardly grown. I thought, good, all this heat, I won't have to mow the lawn, I'll come back. It rained. What was it, Wednesday night, Thursday night? Whatever it was, it rained, and I think we got about 3/4 of an inch at our house. And so I had to mow the lawn yesterday in all that heat. Now, the fact is, as much as I like my sweet tea, that would not have satisfied my thirst it would have tasted really good. But after 5-10 minutes after you drank it, you're still thirsty. Because actually the tea is a diuretic. It doesn't solve your thirst. It actually pulls water out of your system. And you know, the world is the same way. It pulls the goody out of your life. We think it's going to enhance our life, but it actually starts drawing life out of you. And he says, listen, everyone, you're thirsting. And the fact is, as much as America has, we have a nation full of thirsty people looking for something to satisfy their soul, looking for something to fill that empty void, looking for something that would just give them a little peace for another day. And he says, everyone that thirsteth. So if you feel empty inside, there's something missing. Your soul is longing for something that seems to be beyond you and out of reach. He says, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. I'm going to turn this thing down here. Isn't that cool? All right. Now he said, listen, you come. Watch, he says, buy without money and without price. He says, you know what? We spend a lot of money on our toys and all the things that the world's going to satisfy. And when it's all said and done, you know what we get? A bill. We enjoy it for a while, and yes, it's fun. But when it's all said and done, it still does not satisfy. He says, what I'm going to give you was going to last, and you don't even have to pay for it. He says, verse 2, he says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Now, I'll be honest with you, I spend money for a lot of things that's not bread. I mean, I like ice cream as much as the other guy and all those goodies. And in fact, they're fun, they're dandy, and that's nice. But, you know, when it's all said and done, that is not going to satisfy. I've told you, much as, you know, I've never been really a vegetable person. But believe it or not, once in a while, honest to goodness, I feel like I have to have a salad. I just do. After a while, I mean, you eat all this stuff, I feel like I have to have a salad. I know it sounds crazy, but I feel like I have to. Now, you know, you put a lot of Parmesan peppercorn dressing on there, can't taste it. But I know it's going to satisfy the needs I've got down in there. I don't want to taste it. But I've got to eat my salad first while I'm still hungry enough to eat it, just so you know. But anyway, he said, you're spending money on stuff that's not going to satisfy. He says, listen to me, hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. So what are you looking for? What are you spending your time, your energy, your finances trying to find? We're looking for all the good. Verse 3, he says, listen to me, incline your ear and come unto me. In other words, I want to tell you the secret here. Hear and your soul shall live. and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Watch, little verse, here it is. Well, okay, let me back up. He said, listen, God has always promised to bless David and the nation. Now, he's given us promise as well. And God is, so you can use the principle here. And he says, people are going to run into you. You're going to see what God can do. Now watch me. He says, verse 6, here's the principle. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. He says, you're thirsty. The world's not doing it for you. And you know it. And you're spending all your money, you're spending all your wealth, your time, your energy, and finances trying to have something, and once you have it, it does not satisfy. And if we're not careful, time is going to run out, and we're going to miss out on the blessing that God wanted us to have, that satisfaction, that fullness, that delight that we could have in him. Look at verse 7. So what do? We're going to seek the Lord. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Forsake his thoughts. Forsake those unright, forsake his way, forsake his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now we've been talking about, you know, over the last 2 weeks, we're talking about the narrow way, the straight gate, the narrow way, and the broad way. And that little narrow way, he prods us and molds us and pushes us up in that path of righteousness unto to the green pastures and the cool still waters. And he shines the light from the Word of God for us to see where we're supposed to be. His Word is a light unto a path, a lamp unto our feet. And we're supposed to do that. And when we're doing so, we're walking in the Spirit, and God is carrying us along. And that's what we're supposed to do. But so often, we see this little narrow way, and it's just not interesting. It's not fun. Looks a little windy. And everybody else over there, boy, they look like they're having so much fun over there. And they seem to be doing just fine. And we get off of that, and we get into the midst there, and we're having ice cream every night for dinner. And after a while, we're no longer satisfied. As crazy it sounds, we feel like we need a bowl of broccoli. Spiritually. You know what I'm saying? And you know what he says? Forsake that way. Come on back. Forsake the unrighteous thoughts. You, what were you thinking? What in the world were you? Listen, how many times have we gotten ourselves out of limb someplace and we say, what in the world was I thinking? It looked good at the time, but it's just not making sense. And he says, listen, you return. Come on back, and I'll give you mercy. Didn't say it was okay. It was wrong. It was dumb. It was stupid. Whatever you want to call it, we shouldn't have done it. And I know. But come on back, and I'll pardon you, and we'll start over again. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Remember that. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. Why? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. He says, listen, my ways you don't think like I think. So what's he saying? Let me do your thinking for you. My ways are not your ways, so go my ways. Because I take care of you. That void in your heart that you're trying to fill with a bunch of junk out there, and it's still not going to be satisfied, and you will have wasted all your money on it, and your time and your energy and life is going to go by, and you're not going to feel that, and you're still going to feel just as empty. He says, listen, I'll take care of you. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So take my word for it. I'll make this work. If I tell you this is how it works, this is how it works. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of a thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of a briar shall come up a myrtle tree. And that shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. He says, what have you been looking for? What have you been looking for? He says, look for me. It may not look like much on the surface, but it's going to give you what you need. In Psalm 119, it says this: blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. That's 119, 1 and 2. Now listen to me. Look what it said. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him, verse 2, with the whole heart. How are we supposed to seek him? Talk to me. The whole heart. Say it one more time. How are we supposed to seek him? Yeah. He says, seek him with a whole heart. The promise is, blessed are they that keep his testimony and seek him with a whole heart. We cannot claim to be seeking the Lord with a whole heart and not keep his commandments, his testimonies. Verse 3 says, and they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Proverbs 4. Tell you what, turn to that for me. And then we'll get our points here. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4:23, he says this: keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. By the way, you know where your feet's going because the light of the word is on the path. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So he says, you want me to bless are those who keep his testimony and seek him with a whole heart. If I'm going to seek him with my whole heart, then that's exactly what I need to do. Keep my heart with all diligence. Put away a froward mouth, perverse lips. When it says put away, it means basically divorce yourself from it. Let thine eyes look right on. Look, just keep your eyes on the straight and narrow, that path of righteousness that God is showing us where we're supposed to step in his word, by the light of his word, and the Spirit's going to keep us going. He says, don't even look to the left and the right. You know why? Because we're going to think the grass is greener over there, and it's not. It's full of weeds and has to be mowed just like the rest of them. And we're looking, we need to keep our eyes on that path. He says, don't look to the left or to the right. Stay right there. Why? Because what I'm doing is seeking him with my whole heart. I can't be seeking him with my whole heart and Silas, my grandson, is 2. I don't know how many times I've seen him. He's walking and he's looking. You know. And you think, watch where you're going. But he's 2. How many two-year-old spiritual kids are looking around instead of seeking Him with their whole heart? Flip back to Psalm 119 again. Psalm 119, verse number 4. And it's the last scripture I'm going to walk to. First verse I read for you, Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled. They don't get into the dirt. They don't get in the mud. They don't get in the mess. They stay on the path. Undefiled means they didn't get over there and get in all this junk. Undefiled in the way. You see what I'm saying? They stayed on the way. They get undefiled. Will walk in the law of the Lord. They stayed on that path. They did what they're supposed to do. And yes, it causes restrictions. Yes, it's limited. Yes, it's a little tight sometimes. And sometimes you don't seem to have the elbow room and the freedom to move as you like. But the fact is, it's going to get you where you want to go. It's going to satisfy your soul. When you get out there, that mess is not going to do it. Yeah, but they have sweet tea out there. I know. But listen, your heart is thirsty, and it's going to stay thirsty. Oh, it's sweet to the taste. Oh, it makes my senses feel good. But it's not going to satisfy me down deep. So blessed are they that keep His testimonies, that seek Him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Verse 4, Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. What's that mean? I'm not going to do something that's going to embarrass me. I'm not going to do something that's going to hurt me. If I'm on the path doing what God wanted me to do, the fact is I'm not going to do something stupid unless I've been looking around the left or the right. If I keep my mind due diligent, you say, well, it kind of limits what you get to do. Yes, but it also cancels out all the mess. Verse 7. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. Man, when I get this thing straightened out and I'm doing what I was supposed to do, fact is, I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus. The breastplate of righteousness and the armor of God, what that means is this. You do right. And the fact is, it will spare you many, many wounds. You do right, the righteousness, and basically it doesn't allow all that junk to be coming into your life. We live our own way, and then we wonder why we're getting what we're getting. Verse 8, I will keep Thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. In other words, please don't give up on me, God. I'm literally trying to learn how to do right as fast as I can. Don't give. And that, you know what? That's kind of the way we ought to think. In fact, you said we need to seek Him while we still have time. Before I do something, listen, save me from the presumptuous sin so I don't commit the great transgression. I told you when I got saved, I was a kid, and I got to the point where I almost wanted the Lord to come back early, soon, so I didn't do something stupid and mess everything up. Well, you see, this goes against the world. The world says, you're fine, you're good, you're wonderful, you are the creator. Let's empower you. And we have built ourselves up, and we put ourselves up on a mountain full of cardboard boxes. And we're wondering why it's breaking down. We got to realize He's God, we're not. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He's going to have the satisfaction. So in that passage, He says, I will keep Thy statutes and forsake me not utterly. In other words, I'm trying to get this right, Lord. Please, just give me mercy more days. I'm just working. I want to do this. I want to do this right. I found out some other things I've been doing wrong. I'm going to get rid of those. Today, I'm doing those today. I'm getting there out of my life. I'm confessing to forsake this today. I'm going to get this out today. Lord, I'm going to do this today. Oh, my soul, I thought I had it all figured out. And you know what? I read your Bible this morning. I found something else I got a mess on. Okay, I'm going to get rid of that one today. I realized that doing this, I had a guy in my office one day, and he said, and we were, you know, guys are guys and so forth, and I said, the Bible says that a man looketh on a woman with lust in his heart, he's committed adultery already in his heart. And he says, what? What? I said, the Bible says that Jesus said, if you, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery, but if you look upon a woman and lust in your heart already, you've committed adultery already in your heart. I always thought, you know, you can look, but don't touch. I didn't know that was in there. Where is that? Now, you know, this is somebody who said they had read the Bible and so forth, right on past it. So all of a sudden, God brought that to his mind, to his thought. Now, what do you do with it? Am I going to stay on the path? Or I'm going to say, well, yeah, I know, but I don't want to live in that restriction, so I'm going to walk over here. What do you do? Look at verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? What's he saying? Listen, he just said, listen, I'm going to praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous judgments, and I'm not going to forsake your statutes. Please don't forsake me utterly. Listen, how can I clean this up, God? What can I do to fix this? Well, wherewithal shall a young man like me cleanse his cleanse me of his way? By taking heed thereto according to the word of God. What's that mean? Follow the light that he puts on the path from his word. Take the next step. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Shining brighter and brighter into a perfect day. So how am I going to fix this? Take heed according to thy word. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. He says, Lord, I want to stay on here and stay on here as best as I can. And sometimes it gets scary because the path of righteousness, you've been with us the last few weeks, the path of righteousness leads right through the valley of the shadow of death sometimes. But I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Look what he says here. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. I'm trying to stay in the path. What, you know what he's saying? Get your rod out. Get your staff out. I'm going to do something stupid. I know I am. So as soon as I start, listen, I'm giving you full rein here, Lord. I'm telling you, keep me straight. Because if you don't keep me straight, I'm probably going to do something stupid. And be honest with you, that's where we ought to do, because his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts than our thoughts. So, Lord, tell me what you want me to do. And I could over here, no. Well, there's a no. No. And you know what we do? We fight him. We're like the little kid. Stand up, Esther. I'll be the kid. I'm Silas. You're mommy. All right, we're going to walk across the parking lot, right? Right? I know he's got my blood in him. Thank you. Now listen, that's what we do. Now, if we're smart, we'll take the Lord's hand and say, if I get really out of hand, drag me. Push me. Grab both my hands and pull me across. I don't want to get off that path. It looks fine to me, but I can't see what all is going on. Where shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto the word of God. So with my whole heart I've sought thee. Oh, don't let me wander from thy commandments. Verse 11. Thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. I've been trying to get this in here, Lord. I'm trying to do right. Meantime, get out your rod, get out your staff. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Aren't you good? Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. You know, I found out all that stuff that I've been seeking. I think it's going to satisfy, but I remain thirsty. In fact, I found it's worth more to me than all the riches. I'll tell you what, as crazy as it sounds, there are times a glass of water is of more value than a large McDonald's sweet tea. Just is, isn't it? Problem is, when we're fat and happy, we want the sweet tea. But if you really are thirsting, when my father was ill, he started out, you know, he had that accident, so it did some nerve damage and some other things. His diaphragm didn't work like it was supposed to work and some other things, and so he had trouble swallowing and so forth. He didn't drink enough water. And he would actually get dehydrated. And one night we went down there, and it hadn't been all that long, but he was home there, and he was doing well. And we went down to visit him. We got there just in time to watch them load him up in the ambulance to haul him off to the hospital. And Mom says, "I don't know. I think this is it. I mean, he's talking out of his head. It's crazy. I'm not sure what's going on." They got him over to the hospital. They put an IV in him and gave him some fluids. He perked back up. Everything was fine. What's the matter? What are we doing here? Time to go home. We're fine. And he was. Because he didn't have the water of life. And the fact is, some of us are spiritually delirious because we don't spend enough time and have enough time with the water of life. We've been seeking the wrong thing. I'm not getting to my message. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much in all riches. I will meditate, think about, in thy precepts, and have, watch, respect unto thy ways. In other words, I'm going to honor what you want me to do, how you want me to do it, where you want me to do it, and when you want me to do it. Let me hear that again. Let me say it again. He says, I'm going to meditate upon their precepts. Think about what you've been saying. And I'm going to have respect unto thy ways. Now, I'm not talking about respect and say, well, I respect him and I respect all the thoughts out there. No, there's respect of God's ways above all ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, his ways than our ways. And so he says, I'm going to honor what you want me to do, Lord. Not what I want to do, what you want me to do. And how you want me to do it. And where you want me to do it. And when you want me to do it. Because I want what you want. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Then it says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Again, I'll tell you what. Brian and I, well, we were doing something out here. That was probably about a year ago. And Brian shows up, bless his heart. He said, we're going to do so-and-so. I can't know what it was. And you brought me a McDonald's sweet tea. And I delighted in it with my whole heart. And it was good. But he says, you know what we're going to do? He says, I want you to delight in the Word of God with your whole heart. In fact, when we find out as good as... the sweet tea was good, but we hadn't started working yet. I was still... My body was still satisfied from breakfast and so forth. And we think, well, that's just, man, it makes it all the better. But when it was all said and done, you know what? I was actually kind of glad that most of the sweet tea was gone and all I had was melted ice. Because the water satisfied. Let me kind of start, and when I'm not going to go a little bit. Probably time to go home already. Point number one. You ready? We are to seek God with all our hearts. We are to seek God with all our hearts. You know, we say we're seeking God, but God says we're not truly seeking Him until we seek Him with all our hearts. When Jan and I started dating, it's not true anymore. She was 4.5 years older than me then, but it's not the case anymore. Somehow she stays at 29. She had grown up Catholic and nice girl, but not quite the same faith, you know, and my mom was a little scared of for me. She was already out of college, and she says, what does this old maid want with my little boy? I just graduated high school, and she just graduated college. That was because she went to college when she was 2. But she was teaching in the county, and my mom was kind of scared. And I said, well, nothing. Don't worry. But she's a musician. I can talk music. I mean, I actually can talk, use the terms and discuss all this stuff, and she knows what I'm talking about. You know, she's not going over. I mean, we actually can have a good conversation and enjoy time together, and I could see, you know, and I knew that she was seeking the Lord really with all her heart, when we first started dating, she wasn't saved yet either. That's not the good way to do it, but that's the way it happened. And but you know what my mom saw in me, even though I said, "Save, I can't marry her. We're just friends." She knew better than that. She could see that my thoughts were always of her. I planned my day around her. We figured out times that we were going to be able to meet. Now, the fact is, if you had come up to me and say, so you're dating Janet Haynes, huh? You like her? Yeah. You say, well, what's the matter with him? Does he like her or doesn't he? Now, the fact is, if we're seeking God, it should change what we do. I mean, it's just that simple. Now, we've been talking about, if you seek it with your whole heart, these are the things you're going to get. And we think, well, these are the things I want in my life. This is what I want to have, a Christian life. I want to see God blessing and leading, and I would be able to stay away from the mess and the muck and the mire. I want to stay out of the briars and the thorns, and I want to be able to go on and have a blessed life, and that's what I want. And he said, well, good, seek me with your whole heart. Okay. It's going to change what we do. Every day is a day that the Lord has made. And the Lord's mercies are new every morning. So I can start new every morning. We should die to self daily. I messed up yesterday. Well, thank the Lord above, His mercy is new every morning, can start new. We should seek the Lord, the Bible says, early. You know what that means? First place in life. Top of the list. I'll be honest with you, at that point in my life, Janet probably was a little above the, well, I guess not, but pretty close to the top of the list, even above the Lord. Now, I shouldn't say that. I guess that's really not true. If she had said, I don't want to have anything to do with God, I would have gotten rid of her. You would have, yeah. I would have gotten rid of her. I would have just stopped seeing her. Oh, you really? That's all she meant to you? She doesn't mean more to me than my Lord. She does not mean more to me than my Lord. You see, some of you say, well, that's terrible. You know why? Because you're not seeking the Lord with all your heart. If you make the Lord number one, your spouse will think they are. I remember we were already dating a few years, a couple years, and I just about settled in my heart that's who I was going to spend the rest of my life with. And we were having a conversation, and we were getting close to kind of settling on marriage. And I asked her, I said, would you be, I said, I don't know. I mean, I'm a little stuttering, stammering boy from Carroll County. No one knows where I am. I forgot that God does. But no one knows where I am, whatever. And I don't know if I'll ever be able to do this. But what would happen if I became a pastor? I mean, I don't know. I kind of feel like that's what I'm supposed to do, but I don't know if God can use me to do that. But what would happen? Are you willing to be a pastor's wife? And she said, well, I'm not fit to be a pastor's wife. But if that's what He wants us to do, I certainly would be honored to do it. I'll be honest with you. If she had said, listen, I don't want to be in the ministry. I really don't. I've seen it happen. You saying you would walk away from her if she really was not interested? My Lord's call on my life is more important than anything else. And I could, listen, if that was going to keep me, now I didn't know whether I was supposed to be it, but I wanted somebody to surrender who was willing to. And I've seen many a ministry go down the tubes because wifey wasn't in on board of things. I've seen many a missionary come back home from the field because they were being a good, obedient wife, but they could only stand it so long. And finally, he said, well, let's go back home. We'll find a place here in the States, someplace to serve. Now, see, you're saying, well, that's kind of rough. Shouldn't your wife mean more than you, do you, than that? She means the world to me. But God means the universe. You see, we need to seek Him with our whole heart. To be honest with you, if she had said no, and I'd like going to church and so forth, but I really don't want to, I'm not sure I want to go that far with God. Then I'm sorry. You're going to think I'm mean, I'm harsh, and neat. I haven't gotten to the harsh part, but that would have been just slightly off that narrow path. And I'm not supposed to look to the left or to the right. I'm going to hang tight to the Lord. So what do? You die to self daily. You say, well, maybe you wouldn't have had her. Then God had somebody better for me. But He didn't. He had her. It worked out just fine. He knew what He was doing. You see, we're not... See, this is hard, isn't it? seek Him with my whole heart. So He is top priority in my life. Now, I'm not saying you all should make sure you marry somebody who's willing to go into ministry. You don't feel called to ministry, that's not in your mind, and that, don't worry about it. But it was in my mind. I had thought about it for years. When we went over and visited my mom when I was about 30 years old and told him that I was going to resign my job and go to seminary and see what the Lord will do with make me a pastor, my parents said what? Well, they said no, and they said, where did this come from? Why are you being so impulsive and doing it suddenly like this? And I remember you saying, now he's been talking about this as long as I've known him. And it was true. I'm just saying, if he is top in your life, then he's top. If you're going to seek it with your whole heart, then it's your whole heart. Now, with you, when you seek him with a whole heart, he blesses you with many, many blessings, both spiritual and material. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing, blessed of the Lord. Ain't that right, Mr. Jimmy? He was thinking about her when he said that. Yes, ma'am. I know, but I could see it in your eyes when I said that. If we're not seeking the Lord daily, you're not seeking the Lord with your whole heart. If we're not seeking the Lord with your whole heart, we cannot claim the promise. He says, seek me with your whole heart. And Jeremiah says, and ye shall find me. Shall find me when you seek me with all your heart. Some of us are not finding him. We're seeing him glimpses. But if you want to find him, you got to seek him with your whole heart. You can't claim the promise of finding him until you meet the premise of seeking him with your whole heart. We'll get another one here soon. We didn't get to the real point, seeking God on my terms. That's where we live. Come back, and we'll give you another one. Father, thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your love and for your promises. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace. Oh, thank you for your mercy. We get so nonchalant about our relationship with you, and then we complain because you're not blessing the way we want you to bless. Lord, forgive us. Our heads are bowed.